Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin to my left, to your right. That's the svelte, weight-losing individual next to me. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
What are you down to now?
I am down to 242.
Wow. What are you trying to get down to?
I don't know.
$2?
Yeah.
Good for you.
In that range.
Good for you. You'll pass me at that point. And that will be a moment. Drew Didzik standing by to join us here momentarily. We'll also do NFL draft position number 3 and 4. Did I see that correctly?
Yeah, we got a lot of draft props.
Let's go, NFL draft props. I like it. I just want to say this before we get to Drew. And we could actually bring in Drew for this. But this is such a pet peeve of mine. We're going through the NFL rule changes that are happening here in real time. A little before the show they started and now fully in the first hour. We went through a bunch of them. But I relate this. What drives me crazy about sports media is that it's this, no one asks, and I hope this is why people like a numbers game, right? No one asks the obvious questions afterwards. Talk about the Kevin Willard thing with Villanova and Maryland last week. And I came on the show. Remember, everybody was piling on Kevin Willard. They're like, oh, my God, he's going to Villanova from Maryland because it's a better job. And I kept asking the question. I'm like, yeah, but why is it a better job? University of Maryland was supposed to have, it's a Big Ten school, supposed to have all this money, this Under Armour money. You know, like, why? Because Villanova has a better basketball history. No, that's not the reason. The reason was, as I pointed out, is that with a possible salary cap, if you will, pending, that these things are going to be based on a program, not on individual sport. So Maryland basketball will have to deal with Maryland football, Maryland women's basketball, whereas Villanova men's basketball does not have to deal with other sports in the same way. Villanova men's basketball is king at that institution. So Willard made that kind of calculus. But it's just an example of, like, people don't go the extra right mile to find out what's the reason behind stuff. Let's just do the brain dead stuff and pile on this guy. I'm not saying Maryland fans shouldn't be mad, but there's a reason why he's doing it. This overtime thing is like today's example of that, right? You and I have been trying to figure out now for an hour since this is coming down, and hopefully somebody can explain this to us, because we're not getting that explanation, which is that the overtime rule changed for those who missed it. The NFL has decided to make it like their postseason, their playoff overtime rules. In other words, no longer will, if the first team that gets the football, if they score a touchdown, previously the game was over at that point. Now they say both teams are guaranteed the football. Both teams are guaranteed the football. But we're wondering, Kelly, is okay, but you left it at 10 minutes. That's the other. You left the overtime period at 10 minutes. And so we said to ourselves, what if you have a drive that begins these new overtime periods? And let's just use, I don't know, Jaden Daniels in Washington. Jaden Daniels, who authored many 17-play, 18-play drives this year, right, where the Skins were just moving it on third and fourth downs. I should really get to Commanders by now, by the way. and let's say Washington uses 8.5 minutes of the overtime and scores a touchdown. Fourth and goal at the one, they score. The other team now gets 90 seconds. That's their idea of fair. Or let's take it to an even more extreme example. Let's say a team that gets the ball first goes 9 minutes and 56 seconds. Not impossible. Unlikely, but not impossible. They go 9 minutes and 56 seconds, and then they kick a field goal. And there's zero time left on the clock. Can anyone explain to us what rule trumps which rule? Is it the 10 minutes that trump the two possessions, or is it the two possessions that trump the 10 minutes? We don't have an explanation on that. Maybe Drew, by the way, we lost Drew for a second, but we got Drew back. Drew Didzik, who is the host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcasts. You have any idea what would trump what in that scenario?
Well, my guess is that the 10 minutes is kind of the key. And when 10 minutes is over, the overtime period is over. And if it's a tie, it's a tie. And if one team is ahead and the other team has yet to touch the ball, then, you know, tough cookies. But I'm just glad they're finally giving us what we want, more ties. You know,
that's like, right. Like, just what we wanted.
as I saw the news and the new rules crawl across my screen, I was like, oh, finally, more dinking with the kickoff. This is what I've been, this is, as a football fan my whole life, I have really been dying for them to continue to massage the kickoff rules, and at long last we're going to get more returns. I don't care.
Do you also do that thing as a better when it's a tie, where you take that extra second and a half to figure out, wait, it's a tie, did I win that? Oh yes, I did win that. That's right. But yeah, I just wanted, what you're saying is you're probably right, Drew, but I'd like someone to actually say that.
Of course. I think they're going to have to put some clarifying language in whatever gets codified, I would expect, so that there's no ambiguity. But to me, this reads as you get 10-minute overtime period to try to decide this thing. If one team scores, the other team will receive a kickoff regardless of how much time is remaining.
And guaranteed for both teams to have the ball, except when Jaden Daniels is on the field and it goes 9 minutes and 56 seconds, that kind of thing.
I mean, I'm trying to find the answer to this because it should be out there.
I've been trying as literally every break. I've been trying to find the answer. I've found none.
I mean, it should be out there already, though, because this should apply to the playoff games already, correct? I mean, it's just a longer
game,
period.
Well, there's no ties, so they go until infinity. There's no time. Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, good point.
Again, it's just journalism. It's like, was somebody curious enough to give us the answer to this? Drew, before we get to the NBA, first of all, let's start with the NFL draft since we're on the NFL. Have you made any NFL draft bets?
I if there's liquidity available to me, I don't know about it. Yeah. It is extremely tough at this point for me to find ways into this market. But I can tell you what I can, kind of reading the tea leaves, what it seems like, I guess the important news of the last week that doesn't seem to be being entirely digested by the market is that the Aaron Rodgers is just going to happen to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is fun if you have any kind of, any type of, hatred in your heart for Pittsburgh. that feels like an opportunity for awesome implosion that I'm excited to see play out in real time. Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers is feels like it's just going to happen. But maybe more importantly, Kirk Cousins to the Browns. It feels like the secret is out of the bag there. Every person I talked to on Media Row at the Super Bowl was talking like that was already a done deal. When Myles Garrett gets re-signed and has the kind of comical smirk of they let me in on what the plan is for the quarterback position, that sort of reinforced that it was a done deal. And then the fact that they've been pretty clear and obvious that they're not interested in trading up for Cam Ward, that they're not really sincerely evaluating the quarterback position, also screams that, they're going to take, best non-quarterback position available. And then make some sort of move after the fact for Kirk Cousins to be their guy this year, maybe next year as well. So, that matters a ton in terms of shaping the top of the draft, because people are treating the second overall pick like it's this big mystery that could ultimately, have all of the rest of the cards unfold. But it seems pretty crystallized. Tennessee's stick and pick Cam Ward number one. Cleveland's going to take the better of Hunter or Carter for their, based on their evaluation of, player strength, which if I had to guess would mean Hunter, but could mean Carter. Giants don't seem to be especially interested in a quarterback either. I mean, I know they spent a lot of time scouting Shedeur Sanders during the regular season. So, they may ultimately have eyes for him at three, but that brain trust there felt like they put up the white flag this week. Like, we know we're getting fired. Nothing we do can save us. We're going to lose, the Giants are going to lose 14 games this year, kind of regardless of what they do at this point. So, I would guess that, that there's maybe a little less seriousness going on there, and they may ultimately take Hunter if he's available, or Sanders if Hunter's gone. And I think that leaves Carter available for the Patriots at four if they elect to take him there, or trade down and target offensive line help. Either one would help fortify the trenches, which feels like a Vrabel thing to do. Mason Graham fifth, I think you can put in Penn. Sixth is an absolute mystery box to me. I don't know that I believe how, you know, sincerely the Raiders are about taking a running back, even though that fits exactly what you would think Pete Carroll would want to do in terms of team building there and having a guy that can help him get to 52 completions plus rushing attempts every week. Six to me is a little bit of a mystery. And then seven to me, the Jets would almost certainly take an offensive tackle, I would assume, based on the way that they've treated their offseason. So.
Carroll's fascination with running backs always amuses me. So let me just say this, and we'll get to the other stuff after the break. But in the last 60 seconds here, we used to treat the NFL draft, you were part of this, as an ATM machine. Over the last couple of years, it hasn't really gone that way. Do you still view it in the same way you used to? Like, oh, this could still be a massive thing? Or do you view it a little more with a little more trepidation these days?
I would say that the last 2 years, I had a very tough time making money in the NFL draft. 2 years ago, we had very, very solid information in terms of what how the top was going to unfold. But then day of the draft, it kind of leaked that Tennessee had the deal to move up to 3 to take CJ Stroud. And then that changed all of the calculus of the Texans so that they took Stroud second to nuke that trade so that they could trade up to take Will Anderson third, and that entirely reshuffled the top of the draft. So all my big prices evaporated in a minute. And then last year, I feel like I was sort of a target for a lot of disinformation because what I was being told ultimately had very, very little bearing in terms of the way things played out. So it's been two NFL draft cycles now in a row where I've had a tough time really getting anything in.
Yeah. Well, I think you answered the question. That trepidation is only a natural thing. But who knows? I think that's a good breakdown at the top of the draft, though, from you. I will come back more with Drew, NBA and beyond. It's a numbers game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The tournament may be winding down, but the betting action never stops. Major League Baseball's back. NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner, and the PGA Masters, or as I like to call them, the Masters, and NFL Draft are just weeks away. Stay ahead of every opportunity with a VSiN Pro subscription for just $9.99 and get daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our MLB season betting guide and upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. No matter the sport, VSiN Pro has you covered. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe for just $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Skilly Bidlin. Want to Ron Burgundy through some tweets?
Yeah, go for it.
Why don't we do that? D-Gen Southern Gent, hearing Will Hill describe the very specific subject matter of your group text makes me realize two things. One, I'd feel right at home in there. And two, it would utterly destroy any productivity I actually have on a daily basis. Yeah. Or as Deborah Song Fashion Stylist says, he goes, you're still talking to your girlfriend? You're still talking to your girlfriends over there?
It's really that secondary point. The text message groups are dangerous because of that. Because how many times you're like, all right, I'm going to walk out the door here. And then you stand there like, all right, I've been standing here for 2 minutes involved in this text back and forth when I'm supposed to be going to run an errand. Just sets back your whole day.
She'll say stuff like, is really what's happening on there more important than what's happening here? I go, well, we're kind of busting on Stevie right now. So yeah, kind of. Steve the Proxy, lowest score ever. What did you get, a 9 on Immaculate Grid? Is that what you got? Wow. Did you play Immaculate Grid, by the way, at all?
I mean, like, I have once or twice.
The baseball one is awesome. I don't know what it is about baseball specifically, but it's a great one. Jesse Welch. There has to be some line that goes in the bettor's favor. He's quoting me from earlier, talking about the college basketball crown thing, not betting line, but there has to be a line drawn where somehow the bettor has some kind of, you know, assurance. He says, well, that'd be news to me because I don't know if you're aware of this, Gilly, but we're all just guests around here. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. This is from Bruce Dobick, and ask Kelly to explain. The PGA Tour dead heat rules had Pendrith as first round leader last Thursday. He ties with three others. It was declared a loss by an offshore house. How come? Well, it shouldn't have been declared a loss.
Yeah, you should have won something.
No, you should have gotten dead heat rules, which, by the way, dead heat rules.
You would have gotten pennies, but yeah.
Yeah, suck.
Actually, maybe don't bring it up. They might say you owe them, actually.
That's right. They might say you owe them money. Let's see. John Blom, catching up on DVR, so just saw the first segment. I heard the issue with betting the Crown Basketball Championship would be because of the NIL prize money going to winners. Have you heard that? That could be why it required approval, right? I don't know why they decided it's a new tournament, right? So maybe it's just blanket new tournament. Maybe it's because it's a new tournament that was based on prize money. I don't know. But either way, those jurisdictions determined that it needed approval and those books did not seek it. Chance Copperbot, I hadn't seen the news on voided bets for the CBC tourney. For what it's worth, I included Nebraska in a moneyline double with the Heat yesterday, and they paid it out, but that wasn't at faraway places. But that was, he says, at faraway places, places where they let you bet on the weather. Rick Olier, hey guys, I won't be saying the name of a random baseball player today. LOL, just Josh and April Fools. Damon Berryhill. And on with the tweets. We appreciate it. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us here for a second segment. Once again, you can follow him at whale_capper. He's the host of the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast on NBC Sports. And then we get to see him courtesy of Skype. By the way, the final days of Skype. How do you feel?
I mean, the fact that they fumbled the bag on this product in a time where we desperately needed video conferencing is unbelievable. Yeah. It makes you wonder if one of the most valuable and important companies on the earth did this to Skype. What else is going on behind the scenes? At least I have Copilot on my taskbar now, so I can do something with that. But yeah, the entire tech space spooks me with the lack of kind of thoughtfulness of the way that they're bungling these products.
I owe a lot to Skype. I can remember my very first podcast that I did was on Skype, right? You figured out the settings, how you could record somebody's voice in a thing. Skype, Audacity. Mm-hmm. These were the early days of podcasting. So RIP Skype, but final days perhaps of Skype here. When is it supposed to go away? April?
Yeah, nice month or two. I was just trying to remember who was I just hearing rip on Microsoft and Apple, and I think it was Drew Dinsick.
It's probably Drew. Yeah. Drew, are you betting any clay here, a first week of clay around the globe?
I don't have any tennis in action today. I'm enjoying it, but I can give you some clay stories, of course. Enjoying the green clay of Charleston, from a specific clay provider in Charlottesville, Virginia.
R-True, baby. Yes.
Yes, that's right. And it's a little faster than your European clay, a little closer to hardcore. It's kind of the perfect transition material there. My numbers say Pegula is going to win that tournament pretty cleanly, so I haven't gotten involved. In the men's Houston, I took a small piece of Mickelson after he took down Leonard Tien yesterday. I think in general, the men's Houston draw is like, it's hilariously weak. So why not Mickelson is kind of my handicap there. Ultimately, I just have a vote of no confidence for me right now in what I'm seeing out of Tommy Paul and Francis Tiafoe as your top two seeds. Usually I would try to pick like a South American or a European contingent, to go raid the U.S. Men's Clay Court Championship. But the choices are pretty, pretty weak. Christian Garin likely gets the better Tommy Paul, in my opinion. The rest of the runners are all pretty, pretty suspect. So let's see if Mickelson can do something fun.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind. Last week I started by saying, this doesn't make me happy that Drew has not done well in tennis. But at least it makes me feel sane because I've done terribly also. So I just wanted to, I apologize for even bringing it up, but I take no joy, believe me, in that.
I think I've had only one or two winning tournaments all season so far. And Miami, I eventually just had to stop betting altogether and walk away, which was a bummer because I was fading Djokovic every round until he ultimately lost.
until he ultimately lost. I too am taking the week off from it. First week doesn't provide much opportunity, in my opinion. Basketball. We only have seven games tonight in the NBA. What did you land on, if anything?
Oh man, basketball. We could go on and on. It is a hugely consequential night for the playoffs, specifically and the play-in. The Warriors Grizzlies game in particular matters a ton. Loser of this game, almost certainly by my numbers, will be in the 7-8 plan. The winner of this game will avoid. Which is very cool that we have, like, you know, on the start to start April, we get a, basically a de facto playoff game, which is sick. I took the six, it's down to five. I took the 6 points with the Grizzlies. I would still take the five. It's kind of amazing to me that the Grizzlies, or that this price point for the Warriors is richer than I got involved with the Celtics against the Grizzlies last night. I think most of the takeaways of my Grizzlies Celtics watch was that more about the Celtics than it was about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies dared them to do what they do best in shooting threes, and the Celtics did it. So it doesn't really teach you much. Another game, you know, another the fatigue that would be expected for the likes of a Ja and a JJJ doesn't really exist, considering that they haven't played a ton in the month of March. And so I think ultimately the Grizzlies are live to cover this number against the Warriors, who have an amazing top two, but offensive options beyond that are pretty weak, especially if Kuminga can't go. So I think that'll be a really competitive, really close game. And I took the points with the Grizz. The other kind of major meaningful game from a Western Conference playoff standpoint is, of course, the Timberwolves against the Nuggets. The boogeymen go to elevation and I think ought to be favored in that game. The Nuggets, if you didn't know, have the best home court advantage in all of professional basketball. And even then, I can't square that the Timberwolves and the Nuggets are on equal footing, especially considering you have questionable tags on both Murray and Gordon. If one or both do not go, this flips pretty quickly, I think, to Wolves favored. The Nuggets right now, for me, are the sixth best team in the West. And it's not really even not really like a long conversation about how that's possible. They're the only team with in the mix for a playoff spot who has a bad defense. And the options after Jokic are just really, really troubling. The thin nature of that roster is finally starting to catch up to them. So, I think Timberwolves are the bet. Plus the 2.5 points against Denver.
Yeah, roughly 7 or 8 games left in the NBA season, depending on what team it is. In the former game that Drew was talking about, Grizzlies Warriors, right now the Grizzlies are in fifth, 44-31. The Warriors are a half game behind them in the sixth hole at 43-31. And then you have the T-Wolves and Clippers, both at 43-32, a half game behind the Warriors in 7-8. Those are play-in positions right now. The T-Wolves, as Drew just mentioned, taking on the Nuggets, who themselves are involved in a 2-3-4 seeding tussle. With the Rockets above them and the Lakers below them, obviously the Thunder well ahead of everybody else. Okay, I'm going to ask you this because I'll ask this of Kelly later. On the way out, one team answer. I come to you from the future, and the Thunder did not win the West. The team that won it is the...
Oh man, why you gotta do that to me on the way out the door, man? I'm in deep trouble if that happens, and it's the Warriors.
I love that answer. Love it. Kelly has a different answer every week. We're going to find out what his answer is later. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
You too. Drew Didzik, everybody. Right here on A Numbers Game, NFL Draft Props next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet with promo code ANJ.
ANG is an 8-numbers game.
Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, Wet Willy Colon on Twitter. So, by the way, I was told maybe it's Colon. It could be. Could be Wet Willy Colon, as in Bartolo.
That's true.
Colon. I said clay season, also known as quarry, somewhere in the mid-Atlantic season. It's a quarry in Charlottesville, Virginia.
That's right.
I play on Hartrue in Miami. It's awesome.
Actually, what did I just see? I have this pulled up in multiple tabs. Shadwell, Virginia, just outside, 4 miles east of Charlottesville.
I'll allow it.
And it's owned by Hartrue LLC.
There you go.
So you think, did Hartrue come before they owned the quarry, or did they buy the quarry, create the courts, and then call themselves Hartrue?
Excellent question. We should look into that.
I think I've done enough research.
I know. I'm curious now that you mentioned it. I was just talking earlier how we don't get to the bottom of things. We should get to the bottom of that. Yeah. I've never played on red clay, on true red clay before, but Hartrue is awesome. Very cool. And the other thing is, if it rains, it does not soak up. Like, you can still play on it like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, this was we've definitely had this exact same conversation because like there's a lot of red clay that I played on in South Florida, and I never understood that because you always said that about the rain, and it's like, well, why would you use that down there then? Because it's gonna rain and it's gonna take forever to dry out.
Why would you use what down there?
The red clay. You're saying the red clay gets...
No. The hard true. You play like red immediately, right afterwards.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So why would Florida use red clay for
I don't know. I've never... Yeah, they have red clay in Florida?
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. By the way, Drew got me super pumped. I will say this. We've had NFL rule change fever all morning. We are still waiting on the ruling, if you will, whether they change the rule or not, for seedings in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess you're right. When you asked me that during the break, I don't know that I knew that was really being considered.
Oh, that's being considered.
I mean, I know that Detroit was pushing for that.
And I don't get why, by the way. But I am more vehemently opposed to that than any of them.
Me too.
Like, why are you changing that?
I mean, what
if a team wins a division at 8-8? It kind of makes it quirky.
Regular seasons have to matter. Like all these sports, it's everything we talked about with the college football playoff expansion, right? You're making me care less about what happens in the regular season in college football. So that would have a similar effect.
Oh, I don't mind that some team, wins the NFC South with some nonsense record.
Me and
gets a home game in the playoffs. It makes it cool. Anyway,
gotta win your division first.
Drew got me pumped because he started. The NFL draft with him was almost an afterthought because we were talking about the rule change about overtime. And then he went into what I thought was a great breakdown of what he thinks, how he thinks the top of the draft is going to play out. So just to review, just to give the sort of, quick thumbnail of it, Cam Ward goes first to Tennessee. And then Cleveland, which is the real sort of fulcrum of this, he very much believes now that Cleveland will acquire Kirk Cousins, and that therefore they will not draft a quarterback at number two. And by the way, we know that Cleveland didn't send anybody to scout Cam Ward or send anybody to Cam Ward's pro day. So they're clearly they convinced Cam Ward's going first, even if they did have an interest. But they don't. If they're getting Kirk Cousins, they're probably not going to draft a quarterback. That's Drew's working theory, and therefore will draft either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter with the number two pick in the draft. I can't imagine that it would be Carter in that case, because you just re-signed Myles Garrett. Your defense is already pretty good. You really want a guy who might be an undersized guy to put behind Myles Garrett? Like, I don't even know if you want to draft Travis Hunter. So that's the working theory anyway, what Cleveland might do with a number two pick in the draft. Number three pick in the draft is the Giants. God help us all try to figure out what their sort of order of prioritization is. But Drew's thinking on the prioritization of the Giants is Travis Hunter first. But I just gave a scenario where he's gone already. Shador second. Abdul Carter third. So we show the third overall pick odds right now. Travis Hunter is the favorite. Shador is plus 120. Abdul Carter plus 250. I don't know. I don't think I would risk a bet on Shador Sanders there at plus 120, quite frankly.
I wouldn't either.
Because I don't know what the Giants are thinking. Now, at number four in the draft order, which we have, again, props out for this, is the Patriots. It does feel a little bit like with the fourth pick. I don't know. Do the Patriots end up with Abdul Carter at four? Then if the Giants aren't obsessed with him?
This is another one where Travis Hunter's favorite in. It's Travis Hunter plus 150.
I don't think Travis Hunter... First of all, I think that's the wrong favorite. I don't think there's any way Travis Hunter gets down to four.
Man. I don't know how to feel about Travis Hunter still.
I just thought Drew's thinking was pretty interesting. Like the Kirk Cousins acquisition by the Browns then makes the rest of this cascade. To some degree. Not with the 100% certainty, though, because we still aren't sure what the Giants would do at three. We aren't 100% sure if they'd go Hunter or Carter at two, but let's say it's Hunter for giggles. We still don't know what the Giants would do at three.
So caught this note yesterday from Dayball saying this is where I get stuck on Hunter still, right? I get stuck because it really seems he is locked in to that top three, maybe four. Okay. But there's like Dayball said, we'll evaluate him at both spots. there are teams that are seriously considering this kid this much, and they don't know exactly where they're going to play him yet. Something's fishy.
What did Stephanie, our dear Stephanie, what did she find out about what position they're going to assign to Travis Hunter at DraftKings? What did they say?
I'll have to double check on that.
Okay. Because with a whole wide receiver / defensive back, it's going to depend. Some of your draft props are going to either may come down to how they decide to treat Travis Hunter.
Only listed as he will only be considered a cornerback.
There. Will only be considered a cornerback at DraftKings, Travis Hunter. So that's another thing you need to know. Do we have the 4th overall pick odds, or did I just imagine that we had?
We don't have a graphic. I got them up in front.
Oh, okay.
It's 100 plus 150. Abdullah Carter plus 210. And then you got.
So it. I think there is a case to be made for the Abdul Carter at 4 thing. At plus 210. That so far to me seems like the best bet, but even that I'm not like super sure about.
The Colorado stuff's fascinating, and you've got what they're doing their pro day on Friday where both guys are working out at, which why is Travis Hunter working out at that? Like, I don't know that he needs to show anything. If everybody's so convinced on him, the one position thing is he playing is still, how that's a question still is amazing to me, even though we've basically locked him into the top 4. I guess I'm assuming, and I think you are too, right, that it is mainly cornerback and we're going to sprinkle him in on some offensive plays.
Yep.
Shedeur Sanders, I mean, look, there's major questions out right now about him, it sounds like.
He has gotten character assassinated this entire run-up, I mean, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Whether it's justified or not, I'm not making a judgment on that, correct. But that's what's been happening.
It sure feels like it, yeah. And it's, is he, oh, he's not that athletic, the arm strength isn't there, it's things that he said in meetings with people, it's kind of like checking all the negative boxes with him.
So the only thing I think we know for sure, 1 through 5... is Cam Ward's going 1 and Mason Graham is going 5 to Jacksonville.
And we're Drew, sure about that?
Drew just backed that up. Five, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan.
Well, he's even money right now at DraftKings to go number 5. So
okay. Well, I'd make that bet.
Boom.
I'd make that bet. But
I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense.
But 2, 3, 4, even knowing that Kirk Cousins might be acquired by the Browns, still doesn't really clear it up in the way that you would think it would. I would assume, you know what they say about assuming, that would mean the Browns would go Hunter at 2, but then I still don't know what the Giants are doing at 3. I really don't. I don't know if they would go Abdul Carter. I don't know if they would go Shedeur Sanders. I have no sense of that whatsoever.
Yeah, and we've had conflicting stories. You know, you and I have talked about it a bunch. We've had conflicting stories on the, you know, what? How is the front office, how are Shane and Daboll approaching this draft in respects to trying to save their jobs going forward, and what's been the mandate from above of how they should handle things? Because I think that got a little far, right? Of hey, these guys are going to do anything they can do to save their jobs. So drafting players, if you draft a quarterback, you can make the argument, hey, we need more time to develop this quarterback. You know, that might be out there. It might not.
Can I just say something that caught my eye here? We have first round position totals.
Yeah, I put together a few that I thought would catch our eyes.
Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Can I just go to the running backs?
Yes,
real quick?
Under 2.5, minus 260.
Wait a minute. Over 2.5? Oh, no. Under 2.5, minus 260. Right. That under 2.5, minus 260. Does not seem high enough.
It feels like it should be minus 1,000. Who's the third running back that's coming out into the first round? I know there's the kid from North Carolina, and then you've got Genty, but who the hell's the third?
Is there even a single mock out there that has 3 running backs going in the first round?
Not that I've seen.
So again, I get it. You don't like to lay minus 260, but minus 260, that should be something way higher, is still value. Yeah, value is value.
And this is the draft, right? Sometimes you lay numbers like that, but you're counting on them being way, way higher. Should be way higher.
It's Genty. It's Omarion Hampton from North Carolina. And then who? In the first round? Coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Biddle. I'm doing a lot of this lately with the chair.
Oh, me too.
Scarring in my arm. What's happening there?
Because it's like when I lean that way too. The armrests get in the way.
We got a couple tweets. Brian Schaefer, Jack Olaquire, who we met yesterday.
Yes, we did. Jack, thanks for stopping by.
both say, could Cam Scatabo be the third running back drafted? He's not being mocked in the first, is he?
He could be. I haven't seen that many mocks.
All it takes is one team to become enamored of him.
Pretty sure he's run like a 4.6 or a 4.7.
You getting drafted first round with a 4.6 or a 4.7?
I don't think so. I think it... But look, this is another one where we've had this happen in years past, right? With certain positions, if there's a run on a position, right? Quarterbacks last year, probably the perfect example. I mean, I'm not a believer that Ashton Jeanty's going to go in that top, eight pick? Like, Raiders are going to pick him that early? Raiders, you've got more problems than... too many problems on that roster to be picking a running back in the top 10 of the NFL draft, in my opinion. But if that happens, then who knows? Maybe there is a run on running backs.
I'd still be willing to bet the -260. I'd be willing to bet against.
So I put that one together for us. I'm glad that that same bet jumped out to you because that was the one that jumped out to me. And then I know the one guy that you and I have been big fans are of the favorite in the first wide receiver selected market, McMillan, our guy there from Arizona.
He should absolutely be the first wide receiver taken. And by the way, these are DraftKings numbers. So again, harkens back to what we said last segment, which is Travis Hunter will not be treated as a wide receiver at DraftKings. That is a key bit of per book information to know. So that's why Tetero McMillan is -235. Matthew Golden, speedster from Texas, is +170. And Amika Igbuka from Ohio State right after him. I know the Commodores, I'll get there, trust me. Have become obsessed with Golden a little bit. I don't know if he drops all the way to them, though. Igbuka was always mocked for them. So many mocks through the offseason. But who knows? They're so far down in the draft.
So real quick on the position totals, I would lean over 2.5 on the wide receivers, too, because Igbuka's been kind of in the back end of the first round basically for a year.
Curtis Bisbee. Thank you, Curtis. He says NFL tabled the seating rule change for later as well. So Tush Bush and seating got tabled.
Yo, I'll be betting McMillan in this market. I don't feel any rush because I've been monitoring this a little bit. This opened like -270, -280. It's only coming down.
He was an NFL wide receiver playing college football the whole time he was playing college football. Jeff Levine, boys, more dichotomy. Tush push okay. Defender leaping over an offensive player to block a punt, field goal, or extra point gets 15 yards. And a runner who leaps, sometimes backwards, over a defender gets play of the week. I agree with you completely, Jeff. That's what I was talking about. That's why the argument against the tush push is exactly that. It's the different rules given to the offense and defense. He says, by the way, offensive players who aided a runner via push used to be punished with a penalty. And then Ryan Hyatt on this April 1st, he reminds those of us of a certain age of Sports Illustrated. Are you familiar with the former sports writer George Plimpton, who's no longer with us? Does that name mean anything to you?
Name is familiar.
George Plimpton. He used to do commercials, too. But he once, I think it was April 1st, 1985, as Ryan tells us. He says, curious if 1985 Gil took in the story of Sid Finch on this day. If Finch were around today, how would he have affected your Mets win total? That's so true. Feel free to tell Kelly about George Plimpton's masterpiece. So Sports Illustrated, it's hard to tell youngsters. But in the 80s, where we didn't have the internet, we didn't have information that readily available. Sports Illustrated was our Bible weekly. You waited for it. As a kid, I couldn't wait for it to come. And in April Fool's edition of, the April 1st edition of 1985, Sports Illustrated ran an article by George Plimpton about this unbelievable New York Mets phenom pitcher by the name of Sid Finch. And it was a full-length article, right? And he went into the details. I haven't read it since, by the way, of just the amazing feats of this Mets prospect, and it was a complete April Fool's joke.
There was like a documentary on
this. It's amazing.
I believe
it's absolutely amazing.
I've heard and seen the story. It is great.
Yeah, Rhodes. We all know the Jaguars' drafts are ridiculous. I can only figure them to take a tackle to help Lawrence, especially since Tony Boselli is back in the building. They love taking O line higher than needed. So he's saying it won't go to Mason Graham. It'll be an offensive lineman. And then Jim Shogren. Big props to Wes and Kelly on their Minwoo Lee golf pick last week. Wes has been on absolute fire this year. He used to bet golf on Wednesday afternoon, but now if you haven't bet by Monday morning, you miss the good odds. Cheers. By the way, here's Kelly's crusade to make the torpedo bat into
a
bowling pin bat. There you go.
Deep dive investigation throughout the show. It's just, we're just shifting the weight, right? We're shifting where the bulk of the wood's going. That looks more like a bowling pin setup to me, Gil, than your modern-day torpedo that would be on the left side of your screen.
Is that a modern-day torpedo, or did we get a torpedo from way back when?
I tried to find the most modern-day torpedo picture I could, yes.
All right.
So I don't get it, Gil. We just we're too manly. We can't just call it the bowling pin bet. That sounds dorky.
All right. See if this gains any traction.
Gotta go with torpedo bet.
Best bets, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of Visa, and on the show today. Every show, every host, every guest, all their picks. Recap, courtesy of GBank. Start with me. Yeah, let's start with me. I'm glad we bet Duke yesterday again with both of these Final Four games. You can only think that the favorites are going to continue upward. So we grabbed Duke yesterday at -4.5 here on the show. Duke now, what are they, a 5-point favorite consensus? Duke is a, 5-point favorite consensus. By the way, Florida up to 2.5. I didn't touch that game. But Duke yesterday on the show. And then today it's a random brain dead bets. I'm doing all the overs in the Crown games once again. And I'm probably doing the over in Sacramento for the Athletics game against the Cubbies.
I did check. I ran through those totals earlier. So you had three games where the totals moved fairly significantly up, 3 points or more. DePaul Cincinnati first game, Colorado Villanova, Tulane USC.
Didn't matter what number you got them at yesterday. All went over. Kelly, what do you got?
Two for me. Well, Duke, we talked about already, made that yesterday, laid 4.5. And then I am Oppo, sort of, Drew. Warriors laying 3. I laid on the overnight. Huge game tonight. Like you said, for seeding purposes, Grizzlies coming off that back-to-back, playing their guys late against the Celtics last night. Look, I'm laying 3 at the Warriors. He's taking 6 with the Grizzlies. So plenty of room there in the middle.
All right. We also have bets from Will Hill. He's on his way to fade the Dodgers is to take Chris Sale over 5.5 strikeouts, not fading the Dodgers, but in his way to fade them. He's doing it by their opposing pitcher going over 5.5 strikeouts. That's Chris Sale today. Mark Borchard with a parlay. Twins and the Twins White Sox over. +196 is what that pays today as the Twins try to get off the schneid with their first win of the season in 5 tries. And then Joe Pita, again, Joe Pita had the audacity to go 2-2 yesterday. But he's 8-3 on the season for just under 5 units to the positive here on the show. He's got 4 days on the Yankees, -111 versus the Diamondbacks, a little interleague play. He's Oppo Borchard on the White Sox Twins game. He's on the Chi Sox at +150. He's on the Brewers, -116 versus the Royals and the Braves. He's fading the Dodgers with the Braves tonight at +120 as the 6-0 Dodgers remain undefeated heading into tonight's tussle. Paul Carr trying for his third straight 3-0 in the Premier League. This is a midweek version. Today, if you're looking for some midday action, he's got the Fulham double chance +185 at Arsenal, Nottingham Forest +135 versus Man U, and then tomorrow, the under 2.5 goals in the Liverpool-Everton match. Those are from Paul. And then, do we have any others? I think we do. Drew Dinsick, yes. He is Oppo U on the Grizzlies, huh, tonight? Mm-hmm. He's a Grizzlies +6 versus the Dubs and the T-Wolves +2.5 versus the Nuggets in 2 very consequential Western Conference games here on April 1st. So that time of year in the basketball season, by the way. Do you think Oklahoma City is going to shut it down after, you know, once the final 2 games roll around when they have it all clinched? Home court in the finals?
No, I think it depends. I mean, you know, is 70 still up for grabs?
70 will still be in the scenario where 70 will still be up for grabs, but they will have clinched home court in a potential NBA final. Will they sit their players? And by the way, we also said this, even if they sit their players, they still manage to win games somehow.
I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
If it were me, I'd tell Chet to sit down.
And then the other question is, if they win 70, will Daigneault get coach of the year?
I think so.
Yes. I like it. Best, by the way, do we ever put up my Daigneault, by the way, that I have up there? Oh, we took it up one day, but up there. We'll revisit that. Best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of Visa. GBank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. I only got Daigneault at 50-1. As opposed to the 200-1 that Drew was talking about that very morning.
It's crazy. That moved quick.
And I'm the one who kept harping on the 70 wins.
And then we had another major move this past weekend when the Pistons beat the Cavs.
When the Pistons beat the Cavs. We've done all we can do. I think we've done all we can do. Steve Fezzik doesn't like that close in the show, by the way.
No, like, we have researched torpedoes and bats, NFL rule changes. Clay courts and where they come from,
Sacramento baseball, ballpark factor, and all that stuff. Money Moves is next. Matt Brown will kick it off in moments right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.